Well, good morning. You know, if I'm here instead of Father Farrell, something's up. And as you know, if you've been here for a while, this Sunday has always been our commitment Sunday. But first, let's consider our gospel passage. A dear old nun friend of mine, Sister Mary Joan, now deceased, taught me a very important lesson. Back in my seminary days, she taught Spanish to us seminarians once a week, which was a real penance for her. But she was the superior of St. Thomas Aquinas Convent down in South Philly. When we, myself and two other SEMs, were finished working at St. Agnes Hospital on our Thursday apostolate day, she would oftentimes invite us over for dinner at the convent, which was very nice. So there are these eight nuns sharing life, all ages, and they're all happy. And we remarked about that, what a nice community they had. And she said, Father, I learned to be a good superior from all the miserable superiors I had to live with. Well, the point is, sometimes the worst examples teach us very important lessons, like don't become like that person. Don't do what that person does. In a way, that's what our Lord's teaching us in the gospel today. He uses this strange parable about an unjust, dishonest steward. He's been entrusted with all of his master's wealth, yet he steals, he embezzles, he's dishonest. He has to come to an accounting, and then, to save his skin, he calls in the debtors, and he cuts the bills in half or by some proportion, continuing his embezzlement, his stealing, all to save his skin, to secure his position. The punchline is he's praised for this. Our Lord is not condoning stealing of any kind, but our Lord is saying, if those who are so concerned about this world are so zealous, shouldn't the children of light, those who've been enlightened with faith, have that same kind of zeal? So my brothers and sisters, you and I have to remember, we have to have that zeal to become holy, to be a saint. In a sense, to become the best version of ourselves as one made in God's image and likeness, as a person who's been redeemed by Christ, a person who's been baptized and hopefully confirmed, we have to always remember our goal is heaven. So while we live in this world, we strive to live the kingdom, a life of grace, setting our eyes on the ultimate kingdom of heaven, and by God's grace, having a secure position there. Our Lord reminds us then, be careful. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon for the Jews was just a term that covered anything that took God's place. So mammon could be wealth, position, authority, social status, material things, whatever would take the first place of God. So the point for us is then, remembering we're the stewards given so much by our Lord, God always comes first. And after God, then, for like a priest, then being a priest, for a spouse, being faithful to a spouse, then if for a parent, then comes the family obligations, and then everything else. The problem is, so oftentimes in our world, we flip it, and mammon becomes number one priority. And when we do that, the world's going to collapse on us eventually. Everything that we've tried to secure in this world, ultimately we leave behind through death. We all face judgment. So the key is to always put God first and live our faith in a zealous manner. So with that in mind, I think of this couple that I knew. And sadly, well, I married them. That wasn't sad. But I married them way back in the late 1980s. It was during my first assignment. She was actually a convert. And then I hadn't seen them for like 10 years. Then at my other parish, once after Mass, this young man was standing there. He said, Father, do you remember me? I said, well, you look familiar, but right now I can't remember a name. So he told me his name, and he told me that I had married him and his wife. I said, so how's everything going? He said, well, my wife wants a divorce. well, sad. And he said, can we come and talk to you? I said, sure. So they came in. So they were there. You could tell, real turmoil. So I asked them, tell me about yourselves. What has been going on since your marriage? Especially her being a convert. Well, they had built a business together, and they worked very hard. It turned into a multi-million dollar business, very successful, had all the material things that anybody could want. And so I said, well, that's wonderful. Do you have any kids? No. No time for kids. Well, do you go to Mass every Sunday? No, we don't go to Mass. Do you pray? No, we don't pray. I said, do you love each other? And she said, no. I said, well, here's the problem. You forgot God. And only if you return to God and get your life back in order can you save your marriage. And we talked further. I said, you think about it. You talk about it. I recommended some counseling programs and so on. But sadly, I never heard from them again. That's what Mammon does. And so, my brothers and sisters, with this in mind, we have our Commitment Sunday. And it's always good that once a year we pause to look at our commitment and how zealous we are in fulfilling that commitment. The first commitment is, of course, to Almighty God. And so you and I have to make a commitment to put God first. So I'm really asking you, as your pastor, first of all, commit yourself to prayer, 15 minutes a day. Our dear Lord gives us 1,440 minutes a day. We surely can give 15 minutes in prayer. I'm asking you to do something very special. On the entrance tables, you'll find these little rosary booklets. Cardinal Burke, who is the former Archbishop of St. Louis, Missouri, now working at the Vatican, implored us that for the next 50 days, so between now and the election time, that we pray the rosary for the conversion of our country, the moral conversion. So if you need help saying the rosary, here's a beautiful little booklet, one per family, so we have enough for everyone. It has a series of meditations. But our Blessed Mother, in her various apparitions, always talked about praying the rosary for the conversion of this world. Next year, we mark the 100th anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima, when our Blessed Mother appeared to the three children. She warned the children that unless people turn back to God, great evil would be released upon the world for 100 years. She implored them to tell the people, say the rosary. Well, we saw what has happened in the past 100 years. And frankly, given my life where I am, I'm very concerned about where our country is headed. I don't want to sound too apocalyptic, but the 100-year mark of this time of evil hits next May 13th, 2017. Say the rosary for the conversion of our country, to come back to the Almighty God and His principles. Secondly, commit yourselves to 15 minutes of some kind of spiritual reading. Now, I know some of you might be very pressed for time. You could be doing some spiritual reading while driving, in a sense. We have CDs, and there's a great one available for you that's very pertinent in our world today. It's called Abba or Allah, Christianity, the difference between it and Islam, worth that. But we also have the Formed program we subscribe to as a parish. Just put in our parish code. You can download all kinds of good material. You could be listening to that as you're driving to work. So rather than the radio or getting upset by traffic, listen to something that's going to be beneficial. So that's the first commitment. Make God the priority. But then apply that to your family. So for you who have the spouse and the children, make sure you pray together. You come to Mass, of course, but then also help your children with the religious education homework. That's very important. It can't just be left to a program or a grade school. Also, take the time to eat together. More and more studies are showing that if families just eat dinner together 4 or 5 times a week, then, especially for teenagers, the rates of high school dropout, teenage pregnancy, alcohol abuse, drug abuse dramatically decline. Why? Because that mealtime is a time of family bonding. Throw in prayer, bonding also with God. Make that a priority. Put aside the electronics and eat together as a family. So those are the first commitments I'd like you all to really make. But then secondly, think about the commitment to your parish. So today, downstairs at Pancakes, we have various groups who will have set up tables with information about what they do. Do something for your parish. That's important. Get involved. Nothing just happens. So like the Knights of Columbus, a great men's organization, provides the pancakes, they operate the food drive each month, so many other opportunities to make our parish wonderful. The Ladies of Hope have not only the donuts, they do the retreats, the Marian tea, so many good things. So those are great activities. There's many more. We have a young moms group that meets that allows for spiritual exercises as well as just fellowship. There's the Endow group. Then we have the parish service, which just provides a meal or some service to a family in need. Many ways to serve. Just think about Mass. Ushers, servers, lectors, and so on. We always need ushers for some reason. So think about that. Special plug, I know that this might fall on deaf ears, but the choir always needs some people to sing. Now, you don't have to sing like our good Father Farrell. You might have to sing better than I do, but you can always be in the choir, and the choir needs help. So please consider how you can serve your parish. For you young people, think about the youth group. We have a great youth group that meets on Tuesday nights. They have time for a spiritual reflection, time for fun. Also, the youth group is a way to have good, strong Catholic friends. So get involved. I also encourage the young people to participate. Now and then you'll see a teenager who's a lector or an usher. That's great. It's good to see the young people involved in the life of the parish. So whatever it is, make sure you take some time to think about what you can do to make this parish, your little home, much more stronger, much more vibrant. Then also, we go to the financial part of this. So this year, once again, you'll find in the bulletin the audited summary of our financial statements. So you'll be very happy to know that we had a perfect audit by the diocese this year, which is a pain. It's a week-long process. We had the best audit of the parishes in the diocese, so we're very proud of that. But you can look and see how your money's being spent. Of course, we still have our mortgage. $51,000 a month goes to pay off these buildings, but thank God we have them. We've enjoyed these buildings for 10 years. Church, school, parish hall. Some parishes wait maybe 20, 30 years to have a church. We've enjoyed it. But I do ask you, think about the financial commitment. That's always important. What do I give back to God? I always believe in tithing, and I do tithe back to this parish from my salary. So the good book says 10%, I give 10%. But you think, what can you can give? Billy Graham, who always inspired me, said, whatever we give back to God, we'll find we always will have enough. How important that is. We can always think, I don't have enough. But if we give back to God, if we're the good stewards of what God has given to us, we'll find that we always have enough. But two special items that I bring to your attention. For 2 months now, we've been helping a Christian family who were refugees from Egypt with their rent. Catholic Charities helps them with food and other ways. Senator Dick Black is helping the mom to have legitimate green card status so she can find a job and work in our country. But this mom and her two young children had to flee Egypt. One reason was because the little girl, 9 years old, was being threatened with kidnapping. It's very common persecution for Muslims to kidnap young female children, marry them, legally according to Islam, to a man. Sometimes it's consummated, and then that person becomes a Muslim. And there goes Christianity. So to protect herself and her two children, she fled Egypt. She's here living. We're helping her. She needs help. And so another point, we have a family in the parish who is friends with a priest in Colombia. He's a refugee from Venezuela, where the church is persecuted by the communist government. He has a cancerous tumor behind one of his eyes. He needs an operation. Because of socialized medicine, he can't receive that operation. It keeps on being put off and off. Well, if he doesn't receive it soon, he'll go blind. Well, if he can pay $3,000, he can go the private route of medical care. So we're going to help them. And if you can help in some special way, you'll see these little envelopes at the entrance tables. It says, Our Lady of Hope Mission Fund. With the money that we raise from this, we'll be able to help the mom with the two kids, the Christian refugee, and the priest to have his operation. A family is going down to Colombia this Friday, and they will be taking the money so that the priest can have his operation. It'll be hand-delivered. So, my brothers and sisters, Commitment Sunday. And I hope you all have the zeal to really make that commitment once again, personally, as a family, to Almighty God, and also to your parish. May God bless you.